You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
My favorite, it's Judd's Hockey Show.
And it is Judd's Hockey Show. Zolgad from the XL Energy Center. I am downstairs. Declan Goff is at home co-hosting and producing as he always does. Hold on a second, Declan. I'm going to get that light a little bit. It's a little bright. It's a little bit bright.
That's a little better.
Better? Here, I'll block it out, too. I'll block it out with my big
You don't have a flag. I can't wave a flag.
Unprofessional here.
Yeah, professional unprofessional. Conduct is appreciated in a working press box, Judd.
Exactly. I'm in the lunchroom, so I could probably do it, but I just don't have one either. But yes, there is, as Jay says, wave the damn flag, because there is reason to celebrate. The Wild 5, Seattle 1. The Wild right now 3 points clear of the second-place team in the Central Division. Colorado, just to update you, is playing the Ducks tonight in Anaheim. They are tied at 1-1 in the first period. It's a late start. Matthew Boldy is the story of the game, remains on an unbelievable heater. I just looked this up just to start the conversation off as far as the hotness of one Matthew Boldy. Mm-hmm. In the month of March now, okay, he has now played 13 games, 3 goals tonight, 2 hat tricks in the month now, 12 goals, 5 assists, 17 points, which is incredible. So 12 goals in 13 games. Just for comparison's sake, I looked this up earlier tonight. Kevin Fiala, who had a heater himself in the month of March last year.
Great.
16 games. So 16 games for him in the month. So 3 more than Boldy has played thus far. But of course, March is not over yet. March of 2022, 6 goals for Boldy, 11 assists and 17 points. In other words, Matthew Boldy has doubled Fiala's goal output in the month already in 3 fewer games. What more can you say? I mean, this guy has turned into a scoring machine. And by the way, for those saying, well, you guys, especially you, Zolgad, called him out, I'm going to tell you why I called him out. Because this was there. This was there. Like, there is... Marcus Johansson has made a significant difference, and that's on the coaching staff. They got him with the right guy, and in my opinion, they didn't have him with the right guy for a long time. But the other thing is, Dex, you know, and all three goals, but 2 of them were snipes tonight, are an example of the fact that he is putting himself now in a position to shoot.
Yeah.
That's not something he was doing for a long time. He is putting himself in sniper positions, and he is subsequently sniping as a result. But this is what existed there. And it's great to see. And, I mean, this guy is on what is, again, I mean, we thought Fiala was hot last March. This is double the amount of goals that Kevin Fiala had in all of March of 2022.
Let me rephrase your assessment there and say he's sniping from where he should be shooting from. Mm-hmm. Does that make a little more sense? Does that give you a little more clarity? Because I know you and I went a little back and forth about, well, the quantity of shots has been there. He has been shooting a lot, but the quality of shots from the high danger areas maybe was few and far between and wasn't getting rewarded for those goals in other areas. And he does shoot a good amount, but there is definitely a newfound swagger. I mean, Jetty almost had a 4 through his damn legs.
Well,
you know,
he almost had
the end of regulation.
5 goals against the Capitals a couple games ago when he had a hat trick.
And over these 9 games, I mean, he is shooting a good amount, 34 shots in those last 9 games. He has 11 goals. His shooting percentage is through the roof at 32%. Certainly an unsustainable amount. But at the same time, I mean, man, when you watch him play, you're not really looking at sustainability to a degree. You're not looking at regression. You're not looking at overachieving. The guy has just a swagger about him that's phenomenal. And someone had to step up. I mean, after how good the Wild played, right up until the Kirill injury, I mean, it did kind of put, you know, a rock in your stomach, if you will, thinking that, oh, well, all that good's going to be for naught because you just lost your best player, one of the best players in the NHL, for that matter, and you can't really score 5-on-5. So good luck to the Wild the rest of the way. Well, all of a sudden, the Wild are fine. The Wild are fine without him so far. Now, I would like him back come playoff time. Linda Cohen had the note during the first TV break of the first period that Bill Guerin told her that he expects him to start skating this week. We'll see if that's still the case. I would say so far is a little bit behind schedule from what the initial prognosis was, but you know, that's neither here nor there. I mean, this was the Matt Boldy show, and he continues to impress. And the Johansson thing has certainly helped, but I also think that there is, you know, on that pie chart of his resurgence, it has also been Matt Boldy just sniping from places where he should have been sniping from all along.
Yeah, but that's twofold. The problem was this: they had him with the wrong people way too much. They wanted him because of Dean's world, which is a grinded out world, which, by the way, I'm fine with for some guys. Dean didn't understand. It's why the Sammy Walker Boldy thing worked. It's not that Sammy Walker's going to end up in the Professional Hockey Hall of Fame, okay? But it didn't take exactly the greatest hockey eye of all time to say, boy, that's interesting. When Matt's with a guy who's got speed and some skill, he's better. But then Dean, I think, put him back with Foligno, who I love, works his ass off. He ain't skilled. And so Marcus Johansson is finding Boldy in places where he can snipe from. Boldy now is going there with the intention of sniping. This all goes back to the goal last week here, I think, and I got some pushback, where Matt Boldy put himself in a position to shoot, and it was a great goal. And I said 2 weeks ago, he doesn't shoot that puck. A month ago, he's looking to pass it. I mean, if you want an example of a guy who is just dying to pass the puck now, Zuccarello's back to doing exactly that. And shots on goal as a whole is the most overrated thing, because the question is, where are they coming from? Are you finding quiet places? And Matt Boldy's doing a marvelous job. And this is all I've ever wanted, which is for guys to apply that themselves. And I will give Boldy this. I don't think he was put with the best people. It's why the Fiala thing worked brilliantly. And this coaching staff is always, they tend to get too cute sometimes. Fiala's got to work harder. We need more from Fiala. Okay, I don't want him to take a night off. But you know what? He had a tremendous skill set. And when you utilized it, he was fantastic. And so I think that this is getting him, and this is a credit to Bill Guerin, he's getting him with the right guy. I mean, Marcus Johansson tonight was a whirling dervish out there, man. He was like a point guard. I tweeted it. He's making passes. He set Eck up for a chance. Now, it got saved. I don't know how, because the Seattle goaltending is god-awful. But Mark Johansson has been just absolutely marvelous out there. The thing I like about Johansson is I feel like he is more of a guy who is comfortable passing, not forcing the pass. Mm-hmm. Zuccarello's back to forcing passes again. Yeah, who can I pass to? It's like, no, dude, you got to shoot the puck. Your guy's not playing Kaprizov. But anyway, so he was great. The one thing I don't want to bury here, though, is because it's important, and I feel like when this guy has a bad game, we like to talk about it, and he's been marvelous a lot. Marc-Andre Fleury. This could have been a 3-0 game, 2-0 game, Declan, for Seattle really, really quickly. Marc-Andre Fleury again tonight, and it's just so funny because, you know, Gustafson brings this cool, calm, we talked about this, right? Just fundamental technical sound style to the net. Flowers flopping around. He's looking between his pads. He's making saves. But you know what? In their own way, both have been so good. And Marc-Andre Fleury covered up for what were, I wouldn't say entire periods, but large lapses at times. In the second period there, the Wild fell asleep, and it became a shooting gallery for the Kraken, who, by the way, have skill. They don't have goaltending, but they do have skill. And Flower was just phenomenal. It's just, if he's not good, we talk about it a lot. So I think it's only fair when he plays well that we also focus on despite the greatness of Boldy tonight, that Marc-Andre Fleury deserves a star in this game. And what you saw tonight is what you're going to need in the playoffs.
Yeah, in the same time span that they've lost Kirill Kaprizov, Marc-Andre Fleury has still been brilliant. He has won all but one start. He hasn't lost a game in regulation since then. 2.19 GAA, 934 save percentage. He's got a shutout in there. And you could say he's got maybe a couple clunkers. The win against St. Louis wasn't the prettiest of wins. He allowed five. Allowed five against the Flyers, too, the last time out. But, I mean, Judd, I still think that this is the case. I think he's your game one starter. And Philip Gustafson, by the way, we talked about just bearing the lead with Fleury with how well he played tonight against the Kraken. I mean, Gustafson was a star of the week. I believe the third star of the week for this last week of play. And you could still make the case that Gustafson might be the better option. I don't see how this, with how he's playing, and this could all change, there's 3 weeks left and maybe Marc-Andre's play, you know, kind of weeble wobbles like it has for a good chunk of this season. I think this is your game one starter. And I don't think that there's a wrong decision with who they end up going with, assuming that these two are playing as well as they have been by the end of the regular season and by the time the playoffs open up. But I think Marc-Andre Fleury is your guy. And we'll see what happens there. It's going to be an interesting little chess piece. Dean doesn't like his tip his hand too much about the goalies, and I'm sure we legitimately won't know until warmups who is the first guy out there.
Yep.
But he's making his case that he deserves also to be the guy in game one of the playoff series. And look, if it's the Kraken, which was a potential playoff preview, obviously tonight, ESPN's broadcast talked about that a lot this evening. I mean, that would be the most ideal option, right? If you're a Wild fan, and we talk about, you know, potential opponents you could play in the playoffs, the Kraken would be about as ideal as it gets for a first round series.
Yes, partially because of this. I want their goaltending. I want to go against that goaltending. Yeah. The fact that their GM, Ron Francis, the former Hartford Whaler great, didn't go and get some help there. Grubauer was, and look, Boldy had a great game, okay? Two of those shots, nobody was stopping. But I think it was the second Boldy goal was questionable. And like that goaltending between Grubauer and Martin Jones has just been a big question mark and a big problem. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. I think Fleury starts game one, but short of a shutout, I think there's a very good chance that Gustafson starts game two. I think we're looking
regardless
at
of a win. Like let's say they win like 4-2 or 3-1, you know, does
I think
that
it
matter?
Depends. I think it depends. And it might be two games here, two games that Gustafson starts. I'm just saying this feels to me like 2003, where both goaltenders are playing well. Here's what I don't think. I don't think we're going to be, unless he stands on his head and basically allows one goal or gets a shutout, I don't think this is going to be a repeat of last year. I don't think that we're going to see Fleury just start every game. Now, yeah, if he wins the first game 4-2, good chance that they come back with Fleury in the next game. But I think at some point in time, Gustafson's going to play, and I don't think it's going to be like this, oh, my God, we're down, you know, we've got one game left before we're eliminated, so, hey, Gus, go start. I really don't, but I don't disagree with you. It's not going to, and Dex, I don't know at this point in time, I don't know that Dean can go wrong there.
Yeah.
Like I don't see like, oh my God, he's starting this guy. The only thing that will surprise me is if Fleury plays well, but he's not, you know, absolutely standing on his head if they don't have Gustafson play too. I think we're going to see both goaltenders. And I will say this, in hockey, with how different these two play the position, I'm not sure that's a bad thing. These are two very different goaltenders. Mm-hmm. I mean, they could not be more, in my opinion, polar opposite of styles and how they play. And if you are going against, you know, as you just talked about, for instance, the Kraken, like you've got two potential really good goaltenders going against a team that right now looks to be a mess in goal. That's a decided advantage too. So I think your assessment's right, but I feel good if it's Gustafson at this point. I feel good if it's Flower. I don't think you can go wrong.
Yeah, it's gonna be really interesting how they want to play that. I mean, you know, Fernandez and Rolison split the time. The Wild went down 3-1 in both of those series, and I forget who was in net for game 7 and 6, you know, for the Wild in that run to the Western Conference Finals.
Manny was back in goal when Bruno scored, right? In Colorado,
right.
I want to say, if I'm not mistaken, Manny started the Colorado series in 03, might have played the first two games. Rolison, then I think he lost game two or something, because the Wild won game one in Colorado. They lost game two, if I'm not mistaken, and then Rolly played in game three. So that could be how things shake out. I think the Wild has a decided advantage because both guys are playing so damn well.
Exactly. Yeah, it's I'm fascinated to see how it plays out. And the Wild need all the points they can get. They get a big win tonight to kind of keep themselves on top of the Western or the Central Division in the Western Conference. And obviously, I think Colorado still has a game in hand on them. So you kind of got to keep a point ahead. You need a little bit of help from the back end too. So a lot of things still at play here. First and third place in the division are certainly not sewn up. You have the bottom feeders in the Western Conference who are obviously out of the playoff race, but a lot of different parity, if you will, from the Wild from where they want to be come playoff time. We have like 500 people watching.
I want 500,000.
500,000 also.
Call your friends. Yeah, call your family.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Watching Judd's Hockey Show. Hit that subscribe button if this is the first time you're watching that. It's Judd Zolgad. I'm Declan Goff. This is Judd's Hockey Show. We break down Minnesota Wild news. Jesse Pierce, NHL.com. She joins us on Wednesdays. Adria Fredrickson also joins Judd's Hockey Show once or twice a week as well. So if this is the first time you're discovering us, shout out to you guys. Thank you so much. Hit that subscribe button. We will be doing live vent lines come playoff time too, speaking of playoffs. So if you want to join the show with Judd and myself when the playoffs roll around, we will certainly entertain that. So excited to talk to as many Wild fans as we can during the postseason. And, you know, whether you're Matt Boldy, whether you're Marcus Johansson, that great line, got to make sure those sticks are sharp. Got to make sure those skates are sharp. Got to make sure those knives are sharp in the kitchen too, okay? So like when Matt Boldy's getting ready to score another hat trick, you think he's using some dull knives in the kitchen? Absolutely not. He's got the sharpest knives there. Already have them at the nicest pregame meal possible. So he's ready to dice up his meal, and he's ready to dice up the his other opponents. MyDullKnives.com. It's in the YouTube comment section bio, I should say, on the Score North YouTube page right here. Go to MyDullKnives.com. Our guy Joseph at Vivrant will help you sharpen those dull knives. It's okay to admit you have some dull knives. Go check him out. Heard you mention this on Judd's Hockey Show on Score North, too. It helps out their business, helps out our business. Go check out MyDullKnives.com for life-changing online knife sharpening.
Dull knives, dull skates, not a good thing. You want them both sharp. And as you just said, that is a way to get those knives sharpened. Hey, I want to show you something, too, because I got a question or two about this. This is the line chart from tonight, okay? As distributed by the team pregame. I want to show you that they have officially, if you're into the semantics of this, they have juggled the lines. And by that, I mean there's the first line, there's the second line, and so forth and so on. Wow. That is Eriksson, Ek, Johansson, and Boldy, which is now considered, and until Kaprizov gets back, it is absolutely correct, the first line. So, like I heard, I got a note saying, oh, the Hartman line's not the top line. No, Hartman, Foligno, and Pass Happy Mats are the second line. The first line is Eriksson, Ek, who made a play tonight. I just want to talk about this guy because he has not scored a lot of late. He's had a very solid year. He usually does now. He has 23 goals in 74 games. Had a great chance in the third period. I talked about it. He was set up very nicely on a play by Johansson. Nice save in that case. One of the few made tonight by the Seattle goaltenders. But Eriksson Ek made a play tonight that I think is indicative of why this team has been so damn good of late. And it was a small play, and it probably didn't get recognized, which is fine, but it's the type of play that Joel Eriksson Ek makes. So Jarrett Spurgeon made a rare unforced error from his own zone. It was in the first period. He threw a puck out into neutral, and Seattle's top line center, former Michigan Wolverine star Matty Beniers, who is a fantastic young player, picked the puck off, and he was in neutral, and he was about to cross into the Wild zone. Eriksson Ek just gently took a stick from behind and poked it off his stick. And I think Spurgeon picked it back up, and that was that. But that's the type of play that this guy makes on a routine basis. And to me, if we're talking about what's going to make the Wild successful, potentially, to win a series in the first round since, 2015? Is that right, Declan? Mm-hmm. I think the last time that they won a first-round series was against the Blues back in 15. That's the type of play that's going to be among the most paramount to make. And that is that this team is going to, you know, hopefully Kaprizov's back. If Kaprizov's not back, all bets are off at that point. But let's just say Kaprizov is back. And Boldy hopefully is still playing well. But the reality, and we saw this a little bit tonight, and it was problematic because Seattle has really good speed. Second period especially, Seattle was moving through neutral and into the Wild zone very, very quickly. The Wild's going to have to cut that off. And Eriksson Ek's the type of guy who can do exactly that. But those are the type of plays that you are going to have to make in a 7-game series, potentially every period of every game. And you can't afford, and this is where, you know, Dex, we talk about the wild at times getting caught up in certain guys thinking that they're talented and trying to play above or outside of who they are. You're going to have to gum up the works. I can't tell you, especially if you play the Avs at any point in time, I can't tell you how much this is going to come down to coaching and working and in these games not being stylistically fun to watch. And you know what? If you win playoff series, you ain't going to give a damn.
Right.
But that is the type of thing that Ek does on a regular basis that everybody is going to have to do. Can Boldy snipe? Absolutely. Can Kaprizov snipe? We've seen it 1,000 times. It's fun to watch. But the reality is if you are going to play teams, and a lot of these teams have skill, but your advantage is this. You are bigger, you play a heavier game, and you have the ability to gum up without interfering, because you'll be called for that, to gum up the neutral zone and your own blue line. And I really think in watching that game tonight when the Wild was playing well and when they weren't, without asking your goaltender to stand on his head, which I think, Dex, we agree, is probably fair in a playoff series a couple times. Like a couple times. Goaltender won it.
You need one or two games to your goalie to absolutely steals things. Yes.
Okay. But you can't do that every single game. It's not fair. It's not possible. So that's the thing that I'm so curious to see. And it's almost why at some point in time, I would love them to play the Avs, because I would love to see if they can actually accomplish that. Because this team, make no mistake, is night and day different than the team that was a lot of fun to watch last year, but really wasn't built for the springtime at all in retrospect.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say, that, you know, last year they were great 5-on-5. I think they were one of the best offenses in the NHL at 5-on-5. But then come playoff time, you know, those lanes, those situations, it just gets mucked up, if you will. And the Wild are playing more of that selling out in a good way, grinding out shifts, you know, doing all these little things that the fourth line has been so damn good at that are translatable to the playoffs. And I think that's what's so encouraging and different. It's such a different style from last year, right? And yep. I feel like last year was the first time that I felt in a long time that the Wild actually had a legit chance to not just, oh, they can make a noise in a series. Like, no, they should get by in the first round. You were more tepid about that. You said, don't be surprised if the Blues win. I was not as convinced the Blues could win, but I do think that this style of hockey, depending who they match up against, they get Colorado, I think that's going to be tough. They get Dallas, it's still going to be tough. Don't get me wrong. But I think that they're playing a style of hockey that's translatable in the postseason, and you're doing it and you're racking up points without your superstar players. So if Kirill Kaprizov comes back and is still Kirill Kaprizov, I mean, in theory, that's just only going to be good things for the Wild.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
Yes, and so I think in retrospect now, too, I think it's fair to say that this, to draw a, as I so often enjoy doing, a cross-sport comparison. I think the 2020, what would it have been, 2021-22 Wild was very much akin to the 2022 Vikings. The Vikings were fun, and they were a good team. But the reality is this. When you have 8 fourth-quarter comebacks, okay, you're pushing your luck. And in the playoffs, you're really pushing your luck. Like, at some point in time, that runs out. I think the comparison with last season's Wild, Declan, is when you have the amount of empty net goals, right, and late comebacks that team had, you say to yourself, okay, this is fun to watch, but is this sustainable in the playoffs where the game really changes and becomes a way tougher? And the answer was no. I think as long as this team is playing the way they're currently playing, the goaltending is as solid, and I mean, it's been incredible a lot of nights, including tonight, and you are playing, for the most part, the style that you have to play, I think you give yourself a chance. I feel much more confident. Now, I'm with you. You play the Avs, which I would love to see, and I don't know about that. You also go into the playoffs without Kaprizov, and you're really going to be pressing your luck again. But at least I feel like their approach for large portions of games comes way closer to winning playoff games. That being said, is it as fun to watch? Absolutely not. Do I care personally? No, I don't.
No, I want to see this team get by a first round series, which they have not done since 2015. Been in the playoffs plenty of times, I think four times since then. And they have not gotten out of a first round series since 2015. It's time to change that. It's time to change that. And I think judging how the Western Conference looks right now, this might be the absolute best year to do that. Nothing's ever guaranteed year in and year out. And I think just the way the West looks this season, this might be the best path, if you will. It's still a grind, by the way. It's never going to be easy to get to the Stanley Cup, get to the you know, final stage, but and win all those 16 games it takes to get you there, if you will, to finally hoist that cup. But I think that this is the best path they have.
Yeah, I was going to say, who scares you?
Like Colorado, I guess.
The Avs are good, but I don't know that they scare me necessarily. I just respect them a lot.
Vegas, you know, has been quietly really, really good, and I'm not going to underestimate them. But they don't scare me. If the Wild were in the East, I would not be singing that. There's six teams, in my opinion, in the East I could see getting out.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
There's like there's four, five, six teams in the East that I can legitimately see making the Stanley Cup.
The East is going to beat the crap out of each other, which will actually help the team that eventually comes from the West, though, right? Mm-hmm. Like. Mm-hmm. The Eastern Conference playoffs and the Eastern Conference final is going to be like a Stanley Cup. Here's the thing that I think is very intriguing. And here's where I can't say from the West I'm scared of teams. Who is better right now in goal than the Wild? Jonathan Quick is now playing goal for the most part for the Golden Knights. They were desperate. Now, they did get somebody. I do appreciate that. But Jonathan Quick doesn't scare me now. He used to.
10 years ago, he did.
Exactly. Okay. After that, just Colorado. I mean, Gorgiev's been solid. I don't know that he necessarily scares. Cale Makar scares me a little bit, but I don't know that he scares me.
Ottinger's good. I like Ottinger.
Ottinger's been he's very good, but I mean he's not been nearly as good, I don't think, through the course of this season as he was for a lot of last year. And I think he's sort of worn down. You know, he plays probably too much. Like, that's the Wild advantage, right?
Yeah, I would say of the goalies that price game, I would say Ottinger. I think Ottinger can stand on his head enough and pretend. I mean, he did it last year against the Flames, played lights out in a 7-game series, to be honest. I think maybe him, and I know Quick. Yeah, Quick 10 years ago. No,
they got the guy from Corpusalo, right? From Columbus, but they're defensively not strong. Like, that's the thing is, it's not just goaltending. The Wild has a good structure. Yeah. Now they have to play it. I mean, you can't. They can't get away from that structure. But that's the thing about this is, like, when we discuss it, I don't know that there is this overwhelming feeling that the Wild is just outclassed by a certain Western Conference team.
No, not at all.
Now against McKinnon, you'll have to pay the price.
Yes.
Like, but that's a thing. But again, in 03, guess what? Wes Walls frustrated Forsberg to no end. So mm-hmm. who is your Wes Walls? Ecker. Goudreau? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's probably Eck. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's interesting. It's going to be fun. Hey, before we go, you know what? Speaking of getting your life right, speaking of getting your team right, speaking of getting things right, how would you like to lose weight? I'm not talking about a little weight. I'm talking significant weight for summer. Feel good. Look good. Well, there's Sports Dad right there. Thank you, Declan. The guy on the left, he said, I need to lose weight. The guy on the right, well, he achieved it through our friends at Livia Weight Control Centers. And right now, for summer, here's the deal. Your first 8 weeks for free. Imagine going into summer looking good, feeling good. All those clothes that might not fit now after a long, cold winter, they will fit in summer. And here's the best part. Livia, it's weight control. It's not a quick fix diet. So you will continue to work with them and keep that weight off. 855-GO-LIVIA, Livia, LIVEA.com. A lifestyle change. If I can do it, so can you. And I'm going to tell you right now, you'll be happy with the results. Livia.com, 8 weeks for free. Tell them Sports Dad said you should have checked them out. All right.
Thank you for watching Judd's Hockey Show, of course. Judd's live from the XL Energy Center. We do this periodically throughout the week. We'll have a late night game in Vegas, right? Is it Vegas on Wednesday night? Or is it LA on Wednesday night?
If you wait 2 seconds, I can look at this. I can look at this.
Maybe you can look that up for me.
Instead of Doogie or Patrick asking you to look something up?
Colorado. I was wrong. Colorado on Wednesday, Vegas on Saturday. Both of those 9 p.m. Central Time puck drops.
Then the Golden Knights back here next Monday.
Yes. So some late night puck drops. Jesse Pierce will join us on Wednesday afternoon to talk about this game and some other Wild related things, of course. But hit that subscribe button for daily Minnesota sports entertainment. Got some great Vikings fodder coming at you on Purple Daily tomorrow. Got Judd's pecking order. Speaking of Dukes, we got some scoops lined up, of course, too. And we'll hear from Patrick Roycey. So all that available right here on this YouTube channel. Of course, on Apple, Spotify, the Score North app. Central hub for all we do. And pass, shoot, score.
You know, there's no room for petty bullshit.